good evening. Welcome to episode 288 of the Player Player Podcast. Before we get started, I want to give a big thank you to the both old and new additions to our crew tuning in to listen to us do what we do. What's that, Arsene?
Talk about video games.
Talk about video games. Every Thursday of every week, we gather around the virtual water cooler to discuss video games and the culture surrounding them. I'm your host, Joseph Hooper, a.k.a. The Hoop Man, along with my co-host, once again, free from the burden of hosting this show. We have Arsene Lapa here.
You hear that? You guys hear that sound effect? That was me breaking out of my shackles, the chains. I've been here ever since last week. Actually, no, ever since the week before when Hoop Man left, he chained me to my desk and my chair. I couldn't leave. I've been here just waiting for the master Hoop to return. I wanted to be a free elf so bad, and now I'm free. So thank you so much.
You're absolutely welcome. You're absolutely welcome. I started listening to last week's episode. I haven't finished it yet, but it was off to a good start. We're talking about fucking, I don't know if it was Miniclip or addictinggames.com or some shit. I like how we were talking about, yeah, let's talk about weird and wacky games. So we're immediately on flash game territory or whatever. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay. Okay,
that's this good is stuff. What we're
doing. It is good stuff. It is good stuff. This week, I was planning to bring back April Annihilation, but I'm going to let that simmer for one more week.
Okay.
And then we could start doing the week by week bracket round, I guess, tallying or whatever. But I just finished the game recently that I wanted to talk about. You just got access to a game, which, did you sign an NDA?
I don't know. Let me check to see if there's an NDA.
I think so. I feel like people have been streaming it and shit.
I mean,
so.
they were streaming it themselves.
Exactly. Okay,
there's no NDA.
There's no way. You just got access to a game that I want to hear you about. And then I wanted to do like a short round of video game character tier listing. All right.
Okay.
We ranked not the most well-known characters or not the most beloved characters, but some of them were like, oh, okay, how do we feel about these characters that don't get talked about enough? Like Corvo. Where's Corvo rank as a character? Not as a person you control, but as a character themselves. So we'll get to that a little bit later. But first, I do want to announce that I have beaten Final Fantasy Rebirth.
Yeah. It does feel like
I'm going to do my own chink. All right, I'm going to break the chains. Because I was like, this game never ends, bro. There's just too much content. Which for the most part was good. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to go ahead and give my review right now, my score out of 10. I would give this game right now, simmering off of it, probably a 9 out of 10. I really liked this.
That's really good.
It's really good. I think that once you really start getting into the thick of it and you see what everything that this game offers and how much diversity there is in terms of like the content and the mini games that you do, I think it's really hard to dislike this game if you like the mini games and kind of like the wackiness of everything. It does feel like the JoJo's Bizarre Adventure of this Final Fantasy VII trilogy, because there's just absolutely bonkers off the wall shit happening that really doesn't amount to anything. Like, I would say 80% of the characters you run into, 80% of the encounters you do don't have anything to do with anything, and I wouldn't want it any other way. All right. Because then it's just so funny and just so bonkers that it's like, yo, let's fucking do this. I don't care. I will say the main story, I know there was like a lot of back and forth. Like, do people like the ending? Do people not like the ending? X, Y, and Z. Do people, you know, like where the story is headed? From a non-spoiler standpoint, I will say that I don't really care about this Final Fantasy story, like the main story line. The main story.
Interesting.
I don't really care about it.
Okay.
I think in Final Fantasy Remake, it does a good job at setting the stakes, letting you know what you're fighting for. You're blowing up these Mako reactors. Like, you're teaming up with your squad. You're trying to stop Shinra, which ultimately ends up with you trying to hunt down Sephiroth or whatever in the first game. really like that. I felt like the story that they were telling is very clear, very exciting, and like every update to that story was a cool new twist in this kind of like journey that you culminated with at the end with that kind of like that Sephiroth fight. This game, when you take out the bullshit and the nonsense, like of course we go to the gold saucer, of course Cloud is like riding on this fucking dolphin and shit. None of that really matters to anything. None of that really matters to what the core story is that you're carrying on from Remake. When you
Right.
really look at like the story beats that are tying into that original story, I'm like, this doesn't really capture the same magic, in my opinion, as the first game. Like all the stuff we're doing to further the plot of the main thread of the story is not that interesting to me. And I think it's even more convoluted and confusing to the point where I feel like it's very possible when this is all said and done and the third game is out, that as a story, as a like just a general story that you can consume as like people who haven't played the original Final Fantasy VII, I think it could be very well just not be a good story, like not be a fun or exciting
Interesting.
story to look at, because they're setting up a lot of questions in this game, a lot of questions that I'm like, good luck trying to answer this shit. Like I played the game, I finished it, I had questions, I looked up videos, and there's all this fucking information about like, oh yeah, this is why this is happening, this is why that is happening, and I'm like, okay, first of all, seeing all the explanations, okay, I guess this makes sense. It doesn't really make it any more satisfying now that I know what's happening, which sometimes it does. You know how you and I, when we play games or we're watching certain anime and we look up the explanation, you're like, oh, that
That's
was
what they were
happening.
trying to
Let's
do. Okay,
fucking
yeah.
go. I kind of did not get that, where it's like, oh, that's what was happening. I guess. So it'll be very interesting to see, like, can they tell an interesting story that doesn't require, one, doesn't require the player to look up a bunch of shit to understand what the full three game series was doing? And two, will it like amount to something that is worth adding all of these changes from the original source material? That's kind of what I'm interested in.
Okay.
But yeah, overall, like gameplay, I really love the gameplay. I love like all the materia, like all the battle system shit. Like the synergy stuff was cool, although I almost never use the synergy skills. Like I feel like it's just one ability too much, where I'm already trying to use ATB abilities every couple fucking seconds. Like to do synergy abilities on top of that's kind of tough.
Synergy
But
skills or synergy abilities?
our synergy skills, the ones
Okay.
that I
Where
have
you
to like,
hold down the. Yeah.
I'm like, I don't really see the value in doing this, and like it always changes depending on which characters you have there. So it's like I never even fully know which ones I have to use.
Always do them
I
on
just think it's a little
accident.
extra. Yeah, I'm doing them by accident for sure. But despite that, I still think the combat and everything is super fun. If I had any complaints about the game, it's that fucking the ending is just too fucking long, man. Chapter 13 is too long. The shit never ends. Like, and we're just doing shit that doesn't matter. Like, I'm like, bro, and it's the worst too, because it's like, oh, let's fucking go. Like, we're about to do what we set out to do, which quite frankly, I don't even fucking know what we're trying to do. We're,
Every
like,
5 minutes, I forget.
all of a sudden, like, it's changing. Oh, we gotta go here. We gotta go there. We gotta go here. And then, like, within the last, like, 7, 8 hours of the game, they're like, yeah, we need this thing. We need this fucking thing. And I'm like, why, bro?
What is
We're just
it?
needing this thing out of nowhere. Every motherfucker in the game is like, we all gotta get this thing. I'm like, none of y'all motherfuckers were talking about this. It's like literally 30 minutes ago, nobody was talking about this, and now everybody needs it. Okay, sure, whatever. We're trying to go. We're like, you would think that we just fucking trekked across America, how long this shit is taking. They're like, oh yeah, we gotta go here. Oh yeah, let's go through this area. Oh yeah, this area takes 3 hours to get through. Oh, now we're in this little area. Oh yeah, this area takes 2 more hours to go through. Oh yeah, we gotta use this mechanic. That's gonna take another 3 hours to do. I'm like, just put me to the end of the game, bro. Just let it end. I don't know why we padding it so much. It's already 100 hours long.
That's too much.
That's too much. And there's also one other mission, one other section, worst section in the game. It involves Kate Sith. It's in like chapter, you said chapter 9 11 or something? Or... Oh, yeah, chapter 11, something like that.
Okay.
When I tell you, this was probably one of the worst game mechanics I've played in years, bro. Like,
wow.
Worse than any shit I saw in Final Fantasy 16, where I'm literally playing this shit. I'm like, why the who put this in the game, bro? Who put this in the game? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Y'all wasting my time. It's not accurate. What y'all trying? The mechanics don't even work that well. It's a waste of time. I hate it.
Man, I'm not looking forward to it. I'm getting a little bit closer. So,
you'll be there. You'll know exactly what the fuck I'm talking about, because it's just like, it's one of those JoJo moments where you're like, what? We're just doing shit now. Now we're over here. We got to do this thing. And it's like, okay. But in this case, it's not a good thing that we're doing. But all of that stuff is a small slither in what I think is just like immaculate, cool, awesome moments that don't have anything to do with anything.
Got you.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm nowhere near the end, but you know.
You'll make it one day.
Maybe in a month from now, we'll be able to do a spoiler cast or something. I'll finally understand all these, you know, be able to spoiler all those messages in the Discord.
That's the best part. You see people putting up a little spoiler cast, and you're like, dang, I would love to click this. That's what happens to me when you guys are talking about My Hero. I'm like, what if I just clicked on it?
Don't do it. It'll pay out. You need to go in fresh. You're watching
whenever
the
anime. They finish, you know, they're coming up on the final battle. So whenever this comes, happens,
man, I honestly like swear to you, I thought that this would have ended year and a half ago. The way that it has been dragged out for just no, like, you know, there's some fights I'm like, okay, it's taking way too long. Other fights I'm like, all right, like, what? Why are we even having this battle? I understand y'all want to wrap everything up, but let's. Chop, you know.
Still trying to figure out who the mole was from season one.
It should be season. It should be this season that's coming out in a couple days. Actually, I think back in a couple days, if I'm not mistaken. So you should find out the mole very soon.
Okay. I've been waiting about damn near 10 years for this. So.
Literally 10 years. It was from season one, because they were like, how did they know about the school? Like, how did they know where we were going to be?
I don't know why they're holding on to it. Anyway,
this is not the anime podcast.
No. This is the Hades podcast. You got into the, network test or whatever?
Hades 2 technical test.
Technical test,
Our boy Jonathan sent the link in the Discord. He was like, hey, you can sign up. I hit the button on Steam. You literally just go on Steam and say request access. The next day, they're talking about, I get an email. Hey, you're in, bro. You can play. You can download the game and play. I was like, there's no way. I can't believe I'm one of the select few. And I got to tell you, it's clean. It's, you know, it's overall, like, you know, I guess gameplay, like style is the same as Hades 1. I'm trying to think of a good comparison between a 1 and a 2, where 2 was like a better version of 1. I know this is, you know, kind of controversial for some folks, but like, you know, Tears of the Kingdom being the more definitive version of Breath of the Wild, because it just had a little bit more polish to it, or like, this is even crazier, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe being the more polished version of Mario Kart 8. That's kind of what it feels like so far. You are playing as a different character. I don't know. I mean, this information is out there. I don't know. Do you want me to hold information? I now know who this character is, and I understand who they are. Do we want to hold that information?
Just go ahead and give us the high level. Like, if you don't feel like it's super spoiler, go ahead.
I guess it's not super spoiler because you find out in the beginning of the game.
Go ahead.
So the main character, I didn't realize this at first. I know some folks might have realized it. You see the red and green eyes. You're like, what is this relation with Zagreus? This is, in fact, Zagreus's little sister. That's who you're playing as.
I knew that. But you knew it was his little sister. Okay.
Little sister. Younger by I don't know, quite a bit probably. And then we're now fighting a new enemy. We're no longer worrying about Hades himself, because it seems like something has happened to Hades. Something's happened to Hades, committed by the, what is his title? I don't think he was a Titan. The Titan of Time, Kronos. So Kronos is coming to the play. He has done something. We don't know what it is, but I don't know if it's like kidnapped or taken out in some way. Taken out Hades, Zagreus, and what's the mom's name? Persephone?
Dang.
Zagreus snatched them all up somehow. And now,
wait a second.
Yeah. I don't know how he pulled that one off, but now Melanoe, I think that's her name, the main character, she's like, we got to take down Kronos. I don't give a damn. We taking her down. So that's pretty much the plot, and I'm hooked. I'm here for it. You know, we've got, you know, a new set of characters. It's no longer the House of Hades. You're now at this place called Crossroads. You've got like Hecate, the like witch god or whatever. You've got Nemesis, who's like, I don't know, some type of other type of god. Also, like, some of these characters aren't even called gods. They're called like blank aspect incarnate. So, like, I don't know if you remember from the first game, like, Chaos. Mm-hmm. I think he was, like, Chaos Incarnate. So now we have, like, more characters like that rather than, you know, the gods, like, chilling at the, at the home base. Then, you know, we still have the Boon system where we are still running into some of our old, you know, friends and family of the Olympus pantheon. But, you know, obviously we got to spice it up a little bit. We got a couple little new mechanics here and there. Obviously we got new weapons and they let you play through the whole first level of the game. So, you know, that means I'm going through, what, 14, 15 rooms, trying to make my way to the boss. And then you fight the boss. And then you get to do that all over and over again. They give you a little bit of like a little lore blurb at the end about what was going on. I guess like before the game started. And so far I'm locked in. I really am interested to see how the story unfolds. Will we be able to get our family back? That's what I got to know. Is little sis going to be able to get the job done? She's got to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Poor Hades. Okay. Got to restore him to his former glory, because like apparently people since Hades is gone, people can't get processed in Hades anymore. The souls are just like, what am I supposed to do? I'm just standing around. What am I supposed to do? So it's good stuff.
So does the gameplay feel like there are remarkably different systems that you're going to be taking advantage of, or like, are the muscle memory and the thought process that you use in the first Hades mostly going to transfer over? Right. If I had the strats on how to use Zagreus, is it basically all of that transferred over with a little new weapon spin on it? Or do you have like new gauges or whatever that you need to manage? Cause she's magic focused, right?
Right. She is magic focused. She is doing spells. So she now has, you have the ability to, I don't remember, maybe some of your weapons did in the first game, but you're now able to hold down all of your attack buttons and it will start a channel and it will like basically like cast a spell on your attack to like enhance it in some type of way. So if I hold down just like, you know, X or whatever for, you know, main attack, now I'm doing like a whole, like an attack that takes up the entire, like an entire line that takes up the entire screen. And takes away, you know, a little bit of my mana or whatever. Or if I'm now, I don't know how the casting is gonna like change as they develop the game, but now you have remember the cast thing that would like shoot out the little red arrow or whatever. Now you're just like spawning like the circle on the ground. The circle will like freeze enemies if they like touch the circle, or if you hold it down, then it'll like freeze them and then it'll blow up, do a lot of damage to them. So, but it's definitely very reminiscent of the first game where it's like, okay, I know I'm going to be, you know, spamming attacks, dodging out of the way. But I'm interested to see how like some other mechanics like develop and whatnot throughout their development process. Early access is on its way. I want to know what they're going to do with that. I'm tempted to get the game in early access and play it, but I'm just like, Should I? Do I want to wait for the complete product? Because I know if I play it, I'll probably be able to, you know, get to the end of the early access content. And then it's like, am I going to want to pick it back up?
Mm-hmm.
You know, vibes.
Yeah. That's kind of how I'm feeling on it, where it's like a big part of Hades was doing the run, getting some lore dump, and then doing the run again and like having things evolve over time with each run.
Right.
So I'm kind of like, I'm kind of afraid of playing it, like feeling like I understand what the game loop is and then not really following up on it as they do future updates. I kind of feel like I want to play the final vision of whatever story they have planned out. But
I get that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Overall, it was a fun, time playing a little, the little technical test. For the, if you can get in, go ahead and try it out. If you can't, I'll just watch the, gameplay of it. It's all the same.
Okay. Okay. Sounds good. With that, you want to play a little game?
I want to play a little game. We're gamers, aren't we? Don't we game?
Let's do a little video game character tier list. All right?
Okay.
So we'll just rank a couple random characters. Why not? Let's talk about, because this kind of popped in my head because I was thinking about how I don't really know what is the deal with Cloud. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Why is he the way that he is?
And what do people like about Cloud? All right. Because on my, in my opinion, after beating Rebirth, I'm like, he's not really bringing much to the table.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's not like a Clive main character where it's like, oh yeah, he has this drive to, you know, get Joshua back, and he has this trusty Torgal that he loves, X, Y, and Z, and this complicated relationship with Jill. Cloud is just fucking Cloud. And he, like, people try to interact with him, and he's just kind of like, no, we gotta keep going, blah, blah, blah.
I'm like, serious?
This motherfucker just acts the same way constantly. And it's kind of, is even more juxtaposed when you have a Barret and a Tifa and even crazier people. Like, I would argue some of the Turks have like better range than Cloud, right? So I was like, okay, why don't we examine some of these different characters and games, maybe games we love, but characters we don't really talk about too much in relationship to those games, and kind of rank them on a scale from iconic to great to mid to questionable to downright trash. Dog water. So I'll throw out the first character here, and I'm sure we'll start this very controversially,
mm-hmm.
because the character I want to examine first on the stand is a little guy by the name of Sora, all right?
Sora, okay, Sora.
Like, I know we love Kingdom Hearts. Well, some people love Kingdom Hearts. Some people really love Kingdom Hearts 3. I was not one of them. But I love Kingdom Hearts 1, too. I loved all the little interactions. But Sora, do I like Sora? Do we like Sora? What do you think? How do you feel about Sora?
I think we do like Sora. Something about his, like, you know, peppy personality, you know, where he's always, you know, it's the whole, like, obviously it's cheesy, but I think it's, you know, that intentionally cheesiness where it's like, I've got to save my friends. You got to believe in the heart, you know, that type of super over the top cheesiness that I think is what, you know, draws people in to Sora. So I give it to him. I think he can iconic. I would say he's iconic, but I could settle for him being in the great. I can't see him being anything below great, honestly, just because I think that franchise has, like, just spawned so many. First of all, it spawned so many just absolute crackheads. Like, I don't even understand how y'all like. I enjoy Kingdom Hearts. I'm not saying it's a bad series or anything, but the amount of people that are like, oh yeah, yeah, Kingdom Hearts, like, I don't know, man. That, he must be doing something. Something must be done right.
You know, I look at Sora, and I'm going to be honest, I struggle to think back to iconic Sora moments, all right? Like, I do remember a lot of iconic Kingdom Hearts moments.
Okay.
But I'm trying to think back. Well, give me an iconic Sora moment.
I feel like the part with, like, him... Okay, first of all, off rip, him falling in the water in the intro theme song, that's literally iconic. It gets like...
I mean, that's a cinematic moment, though.
Okay, it's a cinematic moment. Okay, but I know, but it's just like, it's synonymous with who he is. Then, like, him...
What's that have to do with...
I don't know.
What's that have to do with who he is?
What do you mean? Like, that you see a character falling into the water, that's Sora. That's just what it means.
All right, okay.
I think that he has a lot of... I think he, you know... I don't know, man. I don't know about that one. I brought that one up, but let me think. Another one. The part, I guess this might be considered just the Kingdom Hearts moment, but the part of him and Riku in Kingdom Hearts 2 deflecting all the laser beams from Xemnas.
You know what, I'm going to be honest, I don't remember that, but that does sound like a good moment.
That it was insane, because especially in the game, because you're pressing triangle to reflect. So you're going, choo, 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 and you guys are just jumping around the entire screen, deflecting every last laser beam from Xemnas at the time.
Now, I think, I know, I might even be even more controversial in saying this.
Okay.
But I actually think if you put me on the stand right now, and, you know, I'm a key witness on the trial of Sora, I would argue that Riku is two times as iconic as Sora in terms of what they deal with him as a character, right? Like, you start with him on the fucking island. He turns evil. He shows up in the fucking mini skirt at Castle Oblivion. Like, you know, he goes back to the good side. I feel like Riku has the range where he's like, hey, bro, we were friends. He's kind of like a cool Sasuke. He's like a perfect Sasuke embodiment video game version. I'll keep Sora on the great.
Keep him on the great. Also, the part where in Kingdom Hearts 1, where Sora like sacrifices himself and turns into a heartless. Don't you remember that part?
After that
was an iconic moment.
I'll give you that. I'll keep that great, though. I don't think Sora is iconic as a interesting character.
Okay, sure. But yeah, I don't think he can drop below great for sure.
Okay. I have another interesting for you.
Give me it.
Interesting one.
Hit me.
Let's talk about Mario. Now, we know Mario has been around since the dawn of times, dawn of video games. Everybody knows Mario. Everybody loves Mario. But is Mario an iconic character in of himself?
Yes, bro. I feel like without him, there's no, you know, Mario series. Like, I think I understand what you're trying to say. Like, oh, the games are iconic and what they're doing. Sure. But, like, without him, I just don't think it doesn't have the same sauce. I mean, you maybe could put a different character in his place, but I don't know how successful it would be. I feel like at this point now, he is built. He's, like, put himself into the iconic status.
But is it because of...
Yeah, go ahead.
Is it just because of his legacy of, like, he's been in so many games that you can't replace him? Or is it because of his drip? Or is it because of
legacy-based 100%. I would agree with you that, like, you know, personality-wise, I don't think he really has that, you know. It's just a very, like, you know, average personality. Sure, he's just doing what he's trying to do, saving the princess. Drip, I mean, red shirt, white gloves, and blue overalls. Like, that ain't it, brother. Now, I'm gonna be honest with you. He ain't really dripping like that. I mean, he has maybe had some drippy fits over the years, but his main fit is not drippy. I think it all boils down to that legacy and, like, what was established with the games that are using his name. And so he has to get put in. Like, he just can't not be.
I'm saying forget about all of that. We're not talking about the legacy of Mario. We're talking about.
But it's so hard to separate, in my opinion.
It is hard to separate, but let's talk about, you know, you his have character. A roster. you're like Super Smash Brothers, right? And you're picking the coolest character.
You're not picking
Mario. How likely are you to pick Mario?
You know, very low.
I know I've been setting this up as if I'm saying I'm questioning Mario's status, because I am. But I will say, because Mario has so many games, I think he actually does make it into the iconic section.
Because so basically of, what I said.
But not because of legacy. Because he does have a lot of iconic moments, all right? Because I feel like
okay.
The way they frame him, because of his moments in Super Smash Brothers, because of some of the moments he's had in even some of these fucking sports games, or like in a game like, not necessarily, even like Mario Odyssey or Mario Sunshine. I feel like Mario, even though he doesn't really speak, he does. He's like, he's on his shit. Like okay. When he's like, he's, I kind of look at him as the guy to solve the problems in the Mushroom Kingdom. And when he's in those little cinematics that they put him in, he's on his shit. He's like doing his fucking damn thing. And even in the story moments, Mario gets the job done. I think Mario is iconic. I think they put him in enough situations to justify him being the man without the legacy attached.
That sounds like, I mean, to me, that sounds like we saying the same thing, brother.
I mean, we are. But I want to.
But you say it differently.
I want to take into account what they've done and not just because they're in cool games.
Okay. All right.
For example, Pac-Man is iconic, but without the 3D Pac-Man games, he's just a fucking thing. He's just a little guy running around in
pellets. He's a sprite.
You say that's iconic? He's nothing. He's not, he doesn't do anything.
It's the game itself that would be iconic. Yeah.
Exactly,
I got you.
Exactly. I got okay. Another character for you.
Give it to me.
When you think about characters and how these characters are portrayed, let's talk about Atreus for a second.
Atreus, okay, sure.
He starts out in the first game, we all know, little annoying-ass bitch in the first game. He gets a little more autonomy in the second game. Do you like Atreus at this point? Is he mid? Is he great? Is he iconic? Questionable? Is it still up for debate? Questionable? Is he trash? How do you feel about Atreus?
I'm thinking I slot him in the mid category, but not in a derogatory way. I think of it as like, you know, since that is like the middle of the road tier that we have here, I'm thinking of it as like an average. Like I think, you know, I think he had a very strong, you know, character moments, character growth. But if you're talking about like, so, which, you know, that does him well, but then he also doesn't have like that staying power, you know, in terms of as a character, like, he is always going to, you know, forever be in his father's shadow.
Right.
In the eyes of, you know, every gaming household, you know, it's like, oh, Atreus from God of War. Oh, like, you know, from the Kratos' son from God of War. Like, you know.
Yeah.
So He's getting sunned constantly. And that's what puts him in mid. I think if in some world Atreus gets a spinoff and that, you know, turns into a successful franchise, where we're able to see more of just him and of his moments, then he could, you know, be moved up. But until then, I think he's mid. I don't think he's a bad character, though.
Okay. I kind of agree with you. I think Atreus has a lot of character development. I think that does a lot for him, where you hate him in the beginning. He's, like, very annoying. He's very, like, self-centered. And then You really very clearly see the growth over time, which is very cool. But I do think that he's still missing the he's him moment, where you're like, oh, fucking Atreus is him. He had his fucking him moment. Like, he had his fucking, like, coming out party, where you're like, oh, yeah, this dude can kind of stand on his own. Kind of like you look at Ellie, and she had the growth in the first game, and then she had her, oh, she's her moments in
that
the
is
second
true.
Game.
Yep.
That. You know, and the reason I'm not bringing up Ellie and Joel and Kratos is because I feel like, regardless of the game or the status, those are all iconic characters, whichever way you think about it. That's a little too easy. I feel like Atreus is just missing the I'm him moment, he's had like cool moments in the mm-hmm. in the last two games, but nothing that makes you, like you said, nothing that gets him out of that Kratos shadow.
I got you. Yeah.
Yeah. I keep him at mid. I'm also in like the questionable. I don't want to say questionable because I think he's already established himself as like an interesting character, but yeah, we're still like jury's still out on the heights that a little old Atreus can get to.
Got you. Oh yeah, before we go to the next one, can we wrap with the next character? I'm getting semi summoned.
Okay, semi summoned. All right. Astrobot.
I have no frame of reference for Astrobot. I'm gonna keep it a buck with you still, because he's a PlayStation exclusive character. I guess Atreus is as well, but and Sora for the longest. How many people know who Astrobot is?
I'll switch it up. Okay. What's the motherfucker's name from Deathloop? Was it Colt?
Colt. Okay, sure.
How we feel about Colt from Deathloop?
I think he gets, unfortunately, I hate to do this to another black man. You know, I hate to see a black man get torn down like this, but he might end up in a questionable category. I would not say he's trash because he didn't do
trash it. Trash would be kind of crazy.
Trash, I feel like, is like if you're... They like the character is written poorly, and like he's mm-hmm. doing some, you know, really, you know, they're written poorly and just bad overall. I think there's some questionable moments with Colt throughout the game. And yeah, he doesn't have like, just like Atreus, he doesn't have that, you know, staying power of being in people's, you know, thought minds when they think about games. If you think about Deathloop, it probably takes you a little bit longer to come up with, oh, that's the game with, oh yeah, Colt and Juliana or something like that. I just don't know. I think he has to get slotted into questionable, unfortunately. I can't see him getting bumped up. You have a counterpoint? Are you?
I was originally going to put him in mid, but I like your argument for questionable. I think that the story as a whole kind of let him down, because I feel like you by the end of that game, you don't really feel like Colt has solved all this stuff on his own. Like, I think Juliana is a slightly better character than Colt, because she is kind of like actively hunting you down, and like it does feel like she's a constant presence, and like, you know, she's the driving force and being a pain in your side. Colt is like, we are solving this, but we're not exactly, I don't feel like I have as much autonomy as like a Corvo to have his like him moments. Yeah. And I also feel like Colt is like almost always on his back foot, basically the whole game. Like even at the end of the game, I don't feel like we got any super great redemption for him being under pressure the whole game. I hope that we get more Deathloop to maybe like,
flesh him out a little more.
Flesh out the character a little bit more and have some more him moments.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about more Deathloop, because then it's like you have to be put back into another. You have to be in another loop. That's true. That's the game. That's true. I mean, that's literally the name of the game. You got to be in some type of death loop. I just don't know I don't know if it'll land, if it'll be received as well by folks. Will they even be able to tell a story, regardless of, you know, how it lands? Will they be able to tell us a compelling story that grows Colt?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like you can't do the whole, the 1v1 between you and Juliana anymore. That's already played out. It's kind of a one-time thing.
They have to reinvent the wheel. Yeah. It's like, sure, they might keep the time element in there, but the way that they kind of present puzzles and present action needs to be way different and like way more Dishonored, like in terms of like giving you more autonomy to play the way you want, I feel like, and playing a little more into like, I guess the mystery is kind of solved, but like being a little more hands-on with terms of like whatever story they're telling. Like maybe they can make it more level based instead of like making the, I don't know, but I would like more because I liked the world and the concept. Yeah. But yeah, 100%. You can't do the exact same game and like have it be a success. You would have to reinvent the wheel with the same skin on top of it. Yeah. Essentially.
Or just put a different, or just put them in a different game. Put them in Dishonored 3. They're in the same universe. Put them in Dishonored
3. I guess two different, vastly different time periods, but I'm sure you can make it work.
Bring Dishonored to his time period. I mean, you don't have to be in a ye olde, Victorian area. It's time to bring Dishonored to the 1900s.
If you're like sneaking through windows and shit, honestly, that'd be really clean. Like a modern, a more modern Dishonored.
Modern day Dishonored with Colt in it. Right.
With Colt. All right. This was fun. This is fun analyzing some of these characters. So we'll keep this list running for like, for I guess for episodes to come. We'll add maybe a character on there every episode or so, and have like a definitive tier list on how these characters as people, as humans, or in some cases as pack gelatinous pack blobs stack up against the rest. Dang, sad that Atreus and Colt didn't make it past midpoint. That's sad.
But yes, I don't see mid as a bad thing. Sora is a good character.
If I put Rico on here, I would argue for Rico to be iconic. Riku's fucking cool.
Riku is not high. Riku will be at the level that Sora is. You could do Sora slash Riku.
Cooler than Sora.
Yeah, he's so much cooler. He is cooler, but he's not a cooler character. I don't know if that.
I think so.
I don't know. He's a cooler character, but he's not a better character.
Why not? Why isn't he a better character? I think he is.
He doesn't have the heart. He doesn't sacrifice himself multiple times. Well, he did sacrifice himself.
I mean, I don't know. I'm missing all. I'm sure you can find several instances where this motherfucker's doing shit that also, I didn't even know he did.
Sora has like 18 different versions of himself. So you have to know, can we include them in his coolness?
Are you talking about like the Disney Roxas version?
No, I'm talking about Roxas.
No, and Roxas doesn't get, no, those motherfuckers.
Roxas and Ventus, they're in him. What about Vanitas?
No, that doesn't count. Those are different characters. And didn't Riku wear the blindfold at some point?
He did wear a blindfold. That was
cool.
I don't even understand. That seemed like some bullshit.
He had to hide his eyes so that he could focus on his heart, bro. Come on. That's simple. So stupid. That's, I made that up. I don't know if
that's probably
true.
Right. That is probably right.
It's when you take away one sense to empower another.
It's a symbol of shame. You want...
Oh.
That was a symbol of shame for sinking back to darkness. What?
Right, that's kind of clean. I don't know.
Clean? That's sorry, bro. He's shameful? Sora would never be shameful. Sora would never do anything shameful.
Sora's soft, bro.
He's pure of heart. He's pure.
Put Riku up there above Sora and put fucking Axel up there above Sora, too.
Axel was just pretending. Axel was literally just the definition of a poser. Pretending to be cool and then got his ass blown up. Or did he? Did he blow himself up?
I don't know where he went.
And then they brought him back.
Anyways. All right, we'll end it there. We'll let you take care of your baby, whatever you need to do. Thank you, everybody, for listening to Player Player. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe to us on your podcasting platform of choice. Rate us 5 stars on iTunes. Tell your friends about us. If you want updates about future episodes and giveaways, just join the Discord, playerplayerpod.com/Discord. Join us, talk about Final Fantasy Rebirth with us, talk about the Hades 2 playtest, talk about random stuff, just like any old random stuff. Come join the Discord. Also, a big shout out to Aaron Miller for the intro music, as always. Shout out. Follow him at The Miller Child on Instagram. You can find me on social media as The Hoop Man, where the E is A3. But my co-host, Arsene here, is Pax Arsenico on Twitter and Twitch, or Arsene Lockbo on Instagram. And with that, I'm back, baby. I'm back to the Player Player podcast.
Yeah.
And you put up a finger. Did you want to say something before we went out?
Or no, I was saying, like, you know, we back. Like, you know, putting your finger up. We back.
We're running it back. Just like the fucking 98 Bulls, Jordan. I don't fucking know what year he was dominant, I'm going to be honest with you. But just like that fucking Jordan dynasty.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Have a good weekend. Goodbye.
Keep gaming.